Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Even on a budget, quality is non-negotiable. That's why Quince is the place to score high-end essentials at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Get your hands on buttery soft cashmere sweaters from just $60, Italian leather jackets, and so much more. And the best part about Quince? They exclusively partner with factories committed to safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Elevate your style without the elevated price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Chase Thomas podcast. The Chase Thomas podcast. My nephew needs me to record. See, I already hate it.
All right, Atlanta Sports Guys, late on a Friday. Max Markovich is here back in his number one spot on this very program. Garrett Chapman dropped a little bit. He's had to drop. He chose high school football this weekend over the Atlanta Sports Guys. But Max, we're not going to let Garrett get us down tonight. We're not going to let that phase us on this Friday evening of the Atlanta Sports Guys here on the Chase Thomas podcast. Max, good evening, sir. How are you?
I'm great. There's about nothing that could get me down on this beautiful Friday evening ahead of a glorious weekend in which Michigan could win a ring.
Well, so, hold on.
Gary's not even here to talk about. Oh, we're about to litigate whether it's a ring because they haven't won it since 2004. So I think it counts.
I guess it counts. I mean, I guess we have to start here. Like, I was going to see if we could start with my frustration with Joe Milton's existence. I had to watch it up close last Saturday as the season came to close. I was like, if Hendon Hooker is seriously injured, I'm not watching the bowl game. I'm not going. I'm not doing any of that. I refuse to do another full game of Joe Milton in my life. Can't do it, Max. You tried to warn me. You were correct about Joe Milton.
I did. I was just looking out for you, really. Like, yeah. There was nothing personal there.
No, you have my best interest in mind, and I appreciate that because Joe Milton does not have my best interest in mind when he steps onto a football field, whether it's the Ole Miss run out of bounds, whether it's just overthrowing every open player, whether it's just enough of the physical stuff where you're like, oh, this should be a Heisman quarterback that will always lure you back in because the physical stuff is there. It's just all the other stuff that actually matters. All the stuff that Cade has that Joe Milton did not have. So if you could like combine Cade McNamara and Joe Milton into one quarterback, maybe we have something there. Maybe we have the perfect college quarterback. But no, he went in and promptly fumbled real quick against Vanderbilt when Hooker sliced up his hand. And the stuff is just, it's awful. I couldn't do it. And I was just like, if we played a full game, I'm not sure Tennessee would run away with a victory over Vanderbilt if he was actually in the whole time. We're still there. And he's had a full season with this playbook and where he's at. I couldn't do it. I'm out. But that's enough Joe Milton. That's just what my Joe Milton update for you, because I'm sad because Nealon's over. There's no more Tennessee football here for another year. But your team in the snow, you did the thing, Max.
You did the thing. It really was the thing. That was the one thing. There was nothing else. And it was like, it was this whole nother, it's like when you climb a mountain, this is the metaphor I've been using. You climb this mountain and you can't get to the top. And so you can't even envision what's on the other end. Mm. But like, we finally climbed the mountain and now it's like, oh my God, like Indy, like that's a place we can go. And then the playoff, like that, the college football play, we're allowed in that. Like that's something that Michigan football is eligible to play in. Like I didn't know. And then all of a sudden you start thinking about, well, we're 10.5-point favorites over Iowa. We're about if we beat Iowa, we'd be a favorite. It would be a favorite in the 2-3 game in all likelihood.
Are we sure? If you get Oklahoma State in the two-three game?
Yeah, I think we're favored over Oklahoma State.
Interesting, because I think Oklahoma State's a better team.
That's fine. I'm not... I'm not really... I really don't even, like... If we get there, like, I'm just... I'm still speechless. A week later, I'm still speechless, because that game, it wasn't that, like... The outcome stunned me, although the outcome did stun me. It wasn't that we, like, finally did it, because just doing math, like in all likelihood, at some point, we had to beat them. Like, it's just one of these years, something stupid was going to happen. But it was the way we did it, like, in just such an utterly dominant fashion, I never in a million years saw that coming. Where, like, Ohio State is the one whose will was just broken. Like, they didn't want to play defensive anymore. They didn't want to tackle Hassan Haskins anymore. They didn't want to get paved anymore. They tapped out. And, like, we were the team. That clip going in the locker room at halftime. Mm. And I've been up that tunnel a few times, and it's always befuddled me that both teams go up the same tunnel to, like, locker rooms that are, like, very near each other.
Mm-hmm.
And that clip of Michigan coming in and just barking middle fingers up, like, F you, like, at halftime in a 14-13 game, and Ohio State just wanting none of the smoke, like, that was just the perfect embodiment of that game. And the collective emotions of Michigan fans everywhere, it's just like this huge sigh of relief.
And now you get to go to the playoff, potentially, and deal with all of that.
Knock on wood.
I mean, Iowa, if this game's close, you're in trouble. Like, in terms of if it's low scoring, if we look over at 4 o'clock or at the fourth quarter and it's 13-9 or something, Michigan, I'm logging into FanDuel and betting Iowa feverishly, because, like, that's the kind of game that they win. That's where they come back from behind in a low scoring game against Nebraska that they had no business winning. The offense isn't good. I think Iowa's coming in winning four straight too. And it's easy to forget that they were number two in the country, but a little over a month ago, and people were like, oh, is this the year Iowa breaks through? And then obviously the offense never got it figured out, but the defense just putting up preposterous touchdown stats and all that kind of stuff. So that we were looking at them as like Georgia Jace a little bit, and it's not even like they've fallen off that much. So, I mean, it's definitely still another roadblock, but I hope that's not what happens. I hope that Iowa is not the team that knocks off Michigan, because I'm pulling for one Georgia, two Michigan, three Oklahoma State, four Cincy. I think that would be the most fun of the remaining matchups. But we'll see if we actually get to that. But you know, I'm glad I was happy for you, Max. I was happy
that you got to experience that
because that's cool. And it's you never know when the next time will be. We all like to pretend that we have a good idea of, like, oh, we're going this way. When we hire this coach, we're going to do this, and it's just. Progress is not linear, and you never really know, and people are out on Jim Harbaugh, and now we're all back in, and sometimes it's the right defensive coordinator shift, and Don Brown was a genius 4 years ago, and now it's just amazing how quickly things change.
That is what I wanted to say. I was specifically so happy for Jim Harbaugh, because I mean, that guy has been dragged through the mud by Michigan fans too. This is not like a us against the world type of thing. But for 7 years, that guy, he came home to Michigan. He didn't have to do that. He did not have to leave the NFL. He could have got another job. He didn't. He came home to try to save the program. And Ohio State was a freaking buzzsaw. And they should have won in 2016, but they didn't. And that didn't turn things around. And he has been maligned more than any figure in college football for reasons that I think are mostly unwarranted. Because Michigan was behind Ohio State as a program, just as every other program besides like two in the country were. And he's won all the games he's supposed to win. This Michigan team does not get upset by inferior teams under Harbaugh. And he hasn't won some of the close games against really good teams, mostly Ohio State. Well, he finally freaking did it. And like, what else is there to say? Mel Tucker signs his $95 million extension. James Franklin signs his $100 million extension. Whatever. Like, those guys haven't done what Michigan's hopefully about to do. And so I'm just happy for him because everyone finally gets to shut up. He took a freaking pay cut last year. Mm-hmm. Who does that? Like, no one in college football is out.
Tom Allen just did it.
Tom Allen. Well, yeah. I mean, Indiana. Good Lord. But I mean, Jim Harbaugh, a guy who's a Super Bowl head coach. He did not have to take a pay cut.
Right.
And he did. And he took a pay cut and he fired all of his assistants and he hired a bunch of young guys. A bunch of them had connections to Michigan. And he said, we're going to give this our everything we've got. And they did it. And so that's really why I was most happy. We can shut up about Michigan if you want now, but I'm so glad Jim Harbaugh got that moment.
And college football fans everywhere are excited for a Stetson Bennett, Cade McNamara college football final, potentially. It's going to be great. We're all excited for it.
My Michigan friends have already been talking about, well, you know, if we get Stetson Bennett in the final, you know, in the natty, like, who knows?
Isn't that crazy? Like, that's where we could be. I don't know. There's still a lot to be decided, and this weekend, I think, has the potential to be rather bonkers. Speaking of things that are rather bonkers, the Atlanta Falcons defense, best in the NFL, Max?
Yeah, I think I said in the group chat, 85 Bears reincarnated. Mm-hmm. I mean, haven't allowed a play over 40 yards all year, like, you know.
You know what's weird? When I saw that, I was like, I feel like I could go back through my notes, and that's something I should have, because I take notes on every game. Then I'm like, it really does feel like that, though, because it makes sense if you watch every Falcons game that is the stat for them, because the games are so boring, by and large, because the Falcons have no big play threats either, especially with Calvin Ridley gone, is that, like, neither side really gets out of the molasses the whole game. It's just a slow, slow, slow trudge to the end, and that you just hope to get out alive. Like, they're snoozers. Like, every Falcons game is a snoozer. This Sunday was a snoozer, even until the late moments where Jacksonville almost got back into it because the Falcons just refused to have a normal game. But this is also, like, the worst second place NFL team in football. Like, I think, what is our point differential? Football minus 100? Like, this is crazy. The point differential is bonkers. If you watch the games, you're just like, yeah, this team stinks. Kyle Pitts, he has to make some kind of ridiculous catch every game. We have something in Cordarrelle Patterson. I'm not ready to write off Wayne Gallman yet. Russell Gage being back is a delight. He makes things a lot more fun. But the offensive line is still terrible. Ryan has, like, one of the things Falcons fans have to admit is he has lost a step. And he had one throw where I think it was on third down. Did you watch Sunday?
Unfortunately, yes.
Okay. Do you remember at the end where we could have put the game on ice and Kyle Pitts and Olamide Zaccheaus both ran inside slants? Pitts was just a longer route. And Ryan went to the check down and went to Zaccheaus on third down to give the Jaguars one more chance. Pitts was wide open and he beat his man. And Zaccheaus, you're not going to believe this, did not beat his man. And the Jaguars broke it up. Like, Ryan went to the, like, what are you doing? This is like one of those where it's just, I defend Ryan. He's the greatest Falcons quarterback of all time. But I had to rewind that because I went back later and I was like, am I seeing things? What happened here? Kyle Pitts is right in his clear eye, like his clear line of vision, and it's just wide open. You can put the game on ice. So you just hit him there in stride and he misses Kyle Pitts in stride at least twice a game. But he goes to Zaccheaus. Zaccheaus obviously doesn't come down with it. And then the Jaguars get another opportunity. But I don't know, man. This things are still just not great. If Cordarrelle Patterson did not exist and Kyle Pitts did not do one or two cool things, I just, it would just beat my soul. Did you have any strong takeaways from the Jaguars game?
There have probably been worse Falcons teams in the last 15 years or so. I don't think there have been any less enjoyable teams. Like, I don't like watching this team. There's nothing that gets me excited. Those Kyle Pitts games got me excited, but I think we're learning that it's fairly easy to take out a rookie tight end when he is the only weapon on the field. And you know, I'm not going to bring this back to Ryan. Like, certainly he's lost a step. I think that's been the case sort of gradually over the last 5 years, but he's still smart enough and good enough to win if the scheme works, if guys are open, if the timing is there. Like, I think he played really well in sort of the middle of the season-ish when like the idea of the playoffs was still sort of on the table.
It's still on the table, because I don't know if you looked at the schedule.
I meant
because
like, actually on the table. Like, I meant like, come on. You watched this team there. Like, did you see the stat? Were you more surprised about the defense stat or the stat that about Ryan's supporting cast being the worst in the league?
I don't know. You know what's funny about that is I just think the defense has such a dearth of talent that I don't even think about Ryan's supporting cast being all that bad. That's how bad it is. There's just a dearth of talent everywhere. But when I think of the dearth, I think of the defensive line and I think of the secondary outside of AJ Terrell. Although Eric Harris is a delight because I don't think he's good, but fans love him and he's a hard hitter and he's entertaining. He had one big stop in this game on Sunday, but outside of that, yeah, no, it's not great.
He's definitely not good. He's definitely not good. And I also think one of the biggest things this year has revealed to me is that one of the biggest roster failures of the Dimitrov era, and there were quite a few, is that they really seriously invested in this offensive line, and it's not good.
Right.
And, like, it's not all Dimitrov, but, like, I mean, Caleb McGarry doing it for you.
Jalen,
you know,
Mayfield.
Either of those.
Not good.
Either Jalen, I mean, that's not a Dimitrov
pick. Well, Matt Hennessy was a Dimitrov pick.
Hennessy, is he doing it for you? He's supposed to be the Alex Mack 2.0. Where's that? I mean, Jake Matthews is Jake Matthews, and I don't think we're going to worry too much about that. Yeah. But it's like we put our capital into the line, right? Mm. And so it's like you're supposed to have these premium weapons, two of them, and this line. And then Ryan should be able to sort of – we were like, I don't know, the formula for this Falcons team being any good was that they were a top 10 offense because of that. They're certainly not that. And I'm really disappointed by that. The defense, like, this is probably the least talented defense in the NFL, and I think we kind of knew that. But, I mean –
AJ Terrell is just
I'm giving Ryan a pass until next year. I'll say that.
But see, like, I just don't see how this gets much better. Like, there's just so many more moves and so many more picks that this team needs to hit on. And you mentioned the offensive line, and that's something that I do think is fair to give. Like, Dimitrov tried. Like, he took two offensive linemen in the first round. He drafted Jake Matthews. He drafted Matt Hennessy. Like, he tried, and then you get Mayfield in there this year. But, like, they did try. They did not pick the right guys, which is super simple, but it's also just that, like, this matters because when you don't get Taron Armstead and Ryan Ramczyk, that has long-term ramifications. But it's also like the Vikings have been going through this forever. Like, they will use all the draft capital in the world, and their offensive lines are always awful. It's just like clockwork. It doesn't matter who they draft, they're not going to work out. And then you have the freaking Detroit Lions, who are awful but have a great offensive line. It makes no sense that they've been able to develop their offensive line the way they have, but it's also incredibly frustrating when you're a fan of, like, the Falcons or the Vikings, because you're like, what, they did it, why can't we? And I don't even know, even if the offensive line was great, that this offense would be all that great, because guess what? Even if Ryan has time, no one's open. Because if you watch the plays where Ryan does have time, it's not as though he's missing open guys because he's rushed. No one's open. They have Tajee Sharpe out there who hasn't been open since 2016. You have, I mean, just names. You just throw out a name and I would believe that they were getting snaps at wide receiver at some point this year. But, like, it's just bad. And the absence of Calvin Ridley obviously is paramount here. And we don't even know, like, when he'll be back, if he'll be back this year. Like, there's a chance Calvin Ridley just played his last snap as a Falcon already. Like, that's also a possibility.
How do they even possibly go into that and decide whether to pick up his fifth year option?
Right.
Like, what? I'm sure they know more than we do, but, like, what is that even? I mean, we were talking about Calvin Ridley extension as, like, an inevitability. Like, well, how do you even have those negotiations right now? You can't.
No, I'm moving on without him. Like, I think at this point, like, I think you should move forward. It stinks.
And that's dire, because it's also like, we can't afford to invest more resources in our weapons. Mm-hmm. Like, we can't afford to go out and pay, I don't know, free agent receiver. We watched Michael Gallup last night. He's going to be a free agent. Mm. Can't afford to go out and pay for Michael Gallup right now. Are you kidding? Have you seen his defense? And part of that comes back to, and I don't want to get alarmist about this yet, but Terry Fondo's first draft is not looking great.
No.
And I think that if you don't hit on Richie Grant, if you don't hit on Jalen Mayfield, and I mean, the Pitts discussions is a separate thing, but man, watching Micah Parsons last night, it would be sick to have Micah Parsons. You can't afford to go out and draft a receiver in the first 2-3 rounds, and you definitely can't go out and pay for one in free agency. And so that's where it comes back to, like, what is the long-term vision here? You have to reload the defense. That has to be first and foremost. The offense doesn't look like it's ready to do anything either.
Yeah. I don't think it's getting resolved anytime soon. Speaking of things that aren't getting resolved anytime soon, Max, the Atlanta Braves will not be signing Freddie Freeman anytime soon because there's a lockout. And I think Braves fans, like, it's interesting to see just how dire it feels in terms of what's going to happen here, because we saw the reported number in years and you're like, oh, yeah, the Braves should absolutely do that. If he gets anywhere close to that number, and it's not with Atlanta, if the Dodgers give him that number and he takes the Dodgers deal, I don't know. Where are you at with Freeman? Because, I mean, we don't even know if we'll have a Major League Baseball season, so the Braves could be champs for 2 years in a row. But
I was about to say that this World Series thing could drag on for quite a while.
It could. I am still leaning he's not back. I am going to always err on the side of this front office doesn't, or this ownership group is not going to operate that way. And I don't know. They did win a World Series. Alex Anthopoulos did a lot of great under the radar stuff, and he got really lucky. Like, that's the other part. You just have to admit that it was luck, that this was a really average team and they lucked out after Acuña went down. Like, the odds of Jorge Soler and Eddie Rosario doing what they did ever again are one out of a million. Like, it's great. We'll love it forever. The sound of Soler's home run in Houston will ring on forever, but the amount of times that happens, if you replay all of that all over again, or what? Like, just minuscule. Like, they're almost impossible, and that's what makes sports great. But that's not happening next year, and all those guys should not be back. You should not pay any of them. You should invest. Like, Adam Duvall's back, which I agree with, but, man, I don't know. The Mets are splurging. Bryce Harper just won the MVP. The Marlins are coming. The Marlins will be in contention either next year or the year after that. Things are going to get crowded, and the Braves can't afford to just skimp out on this, but I'm also just like, you know, I'm not really sweating anything. They want a ring. I don't really care. Freeman can go, right, and I'm fine. Like, I really don't care.
I don't know if that's right. I mean, I think, like, the odds, he's 32 years old, obviously. The odds of this deal, say the Braves were to pay him, and I don't even really know how you evaluate this right now with the lockout and not really understanding the scope of that right now, but the odds of this deal looking good however many years down the line are probably not great.
But if we get a DH, looks like he could be the DH and slide over. Yeah.
And it's also like, you know, there's a certain like monetary value and emotional capital that it's worth to have Freddie Freeman retire Brave. Like, you really have to start thinking about like where will he be in sort of the pantheon? This World Series really sort of rounds that out for him, I think, as a Brave. And like that is worth something. It's worth something financially, like selling tickets and all that, selling jerseys. But I don't know, man. We talked about how magical that World Series run is, and like what that meant to the city, and all of that. Like, Freddie's at the heart of all that, and to just let him walk over dollars seems rather ridiculous, but I understand also where you're coming from and what you're saying.
Yeah, I hope it doesn't happen, but that's just my gut instinct at this point, that if he was a priority, they would have gotten this done a long time ago. I just think this should have been a no-brainer. And this is something where when you uncomfortably fleece Ronald Acuna and Ozzy Albies, you pay Freeman then. Like, that's like a non-negotiable. If you're going to save an insane amount of money on Ronald Acuna, you pay Freddie Freeman. This should not even be a conversation starter for me. It's like, that's the...
But it's also, it's a little bit like the John Collins situation where, like, obviously they're not parallel players within the team, but where, if they were going to make John Collins a max player, they would have done it way, you know, in the offseason before, right? Like, if they really wanted to do that, it would be done. And so, obviously the John Collins thing worked out for a number of reasons.
But he didn't get that money.
He didn't get the max money, right? Exactly, and I'm hoping the Freddie Freeman situation works out too.
Well, speaking of the Hawks, 12-10, got the Sixers tonight. Very excited about that one. Nice little break and get to see what we look like. I am so curious because Kevin Herter, and you read the quotes, and Cam's out again tonight, and you read how the team thinks and views of Herter. This is what we saw in the playoffs, though, right, Max? Is that like Herter in the starting rotation and Herter just being an important part with Capella, Trey, Collins, and Bogey? Like, that's our best five. Like, the best five is those five on the court. And that makes things uncomfortable with Hunter, who I hate being right about stuff. But Max, are you ready to join me on this should have been ended a while ago. Like, it's a huge miss for Schlenk because you did trade up in the draft for him, but it's just the health is never going to be there. Cam's health may never 100% be there, and he just may not be on the right timeline. Guess who's on the right timeline? It's Kevin Herter, who knows exactly where he needs to be, knows exactly how to play next to Capella, Bogey, Trey, and Collins. It's just, you look, it looks right. Like, that's how it's supposed to look. That five can't win a title, but that five can win a bunch of regular season games. That five can push this team the same way they did in the playoffs last year. But I don't know. It's like one of those things that now that Herter's paid, he can't be like, he's almost untouchable for me, because he's just like this glue player that means so much to this group and just helps everybody else around him when he's on the floor. He's been the unsung hero for me early on this year in getting the Hawks back on track. Yeah, Trey's been awesome, but I do think a lot of credit should go to Herter. And I don't know if the good folks feel the same. Do you feel the same, Max?
Yeah, Herter's my second favorite player on the team. And I'm sure, I think a lot of this is coming from the Chris Kirshner story that I read. And the net rating with that lineup.
Yep.
I don't have the article pulled up right now, but it's like plus 30 something. Mm-hmm. It's insane. And so, yeah, I mean, you have to roll with that. You don't have an option. And this was John Collins' quote in that story about Herter, which I think distills a lot of his value to this team. Kevin works well with the starting group. Kevin works well with the reserves. Kevin works well with everyone because he has a natural feel for the game. You can't teach that. If you're able to play within a flow and a rhythm, regardless of who's on the court, that's effective. Kevin knows how to get his spots, where to get his shots off. He's unselfish. The game is easy. I always tell him to calm down and make the right decisions because he's going to get there. He can do whatever he needs to do. Like, he's so versatile, and is the exact kind of player you want to put around a ball dominant point guard, because he can do anything. He can be a secondary creator if you want him to be. He can be a spot up shooter if you want him to be. He can go out there and get 30 one night if you need him to. He's perfectly content taking, you know, seven shots in a game if that's what you need from him. He can defend. He can rebound. He's long. Like, he's, I think we kind of brushed past his extension this offseason just because the bigger names, I mean, there's more talk about Reddish, there's more talk about Hunter, even Capella, but he is so crucial to the present and future of the Hawks. And it's just been a really, he was sort of the unsung hero of last year's team too in regular season when guys went down.
Even the playoffs.
He just stepped up and filled the roles. Obviously, yeah, the playoffs in game seven, obviously, that's sort of how he got his fame. But I think from the outside, there's a lot of like misconceptions about what he is as a player. Like, he's a good shooter. He's not like Klay Thompson. He's a better creator than people understand, and he's a better defender than people understand. And he's just the kind of guy who does everything really well. Nothing elite, but everything really well, and will never hurt you in any capacity. And that is so crucial.
I think he's the glue guy. He's the glue guy. And 100%. I love the flow conversation, because that's what you see when you watch them, is the flow is just better.
Yeah. And when we talk about these, we have these conversations about like who stays, who goes long term. That is such an important part of that conversation. Like, I just don't think Herter can go. Like, I mean, it's not like he's untouchable, you know, if the right guy became available and they needed Kevin Herter in the deal, that's a different discussion. But his value to this team extends like beyond what you see in the box score.
Yes, I agree. But I also have no idea what Hunter and Reddish's trade value is at this moment. Do you think McMillan's going to be able to get away with bringing them both off the bench for the rest of the year? Because I think that has to be priority one, is I think Nate has to make a hard decision as head coach here to be like, hey, this five, here's the numbers, here's the flow, you see it. If we're going to keep, like, you guys have to come off the bench for the rest of the year, your rotation pieces, and you can try stuff out in the second unit, but y'all can't start anymore.
I'm going to be honest. I'd be surprised if Reddish is on the team past the trade deadline. Like, I think it's quite clear that when we talked about this, there's a too many guys problem for sure. And it's highlighted by, you know, two of these guys who are supposed to be quote unquote two of your more important players this year go out, and it's a net positive. Because you just everyone slots into a role better. And I think you just can't, you know, you can't roster realistically. And you know, with Hunter coming back, with Okongwu eventually coming back, like, you can't have 13 guys who need to play a role. It's not going to work. And I just think Cam, you're right. Like, Cam needs to go somewhere he can play 30 minutes and make his mistakes, and he still could be a really good NBA player. I don't think it's going to happen in Atlanta.
Yeah, it's like the Cavs thing. If you send him over there or Indiana where they're going nowhere, like he needs to be able to play 36 minutes on a struggling team and figure it out there. And I don't think we're ever going to, the timelines are never going to match. It's just never, they're too good now. We need the veterans and it's just, it's not going to work.
Yeah, and I think the Hunter discussion's a little bit different because I don't think they would want to trade him at this kind of low in his value. Like, I just don't. And I think, you know, right or wrong, I think they still have some degree of hope that he can recoup that value.
Better be off the bench.
I mean, in the short term, absolutely. In the long term, I don't know. It's a little bit more of a complicated discussion, especially because when we get to the playoffs, like a Trey, Bogey, Herger, Collins, Capella lineup is not your best defensive lineup. I know that the metrics right now are quite good defensively with that lineup. I don't necessarily trust that against like wings in the playoffs. But we'll see. You know, maybe like if that's your best five, that's your best five, and you roll with it. But I think I just think the macro take here is that it's very telling that with Reddish and Hunter out, the best version of the Hawks, you know, comes through. And it's not to say that it's like those are bad players who can't work long term, but there's just too many guys right now.
There you go. Max, any other, how do you think tonight goes? And we'll wrap up there. How do you think it goes with the Hawks, Sixers?
I think they win. I want to make one more point about Trey, quick point, which is, before the season, we were talking about guys who could break out, and we're mostly talking about Hunter, Reddish, maybe a Kongwu, guys like that. But I mentioned, and you can go back to the preseason pod if you want, I mentioned Trey as a sort of stealth breakout guy because the shooting numbers could improve. And if he took better shots, he could be a more efficient shooter. And we are starting to see that. And that is the Trey that there's another level to him. Like, that is super, super duper star Trey. And if this, he's shooting 39% from three right now, 46.6 from the field. If those numbers sustain, like, that is like a top 10 player in the NBA. I don't care about the defense because he is absolutely unguardable if those shooting numbers continue. I'm really pumped about that right now. As for tonight, I think the Hawks win. Kind of own the Sixers, right? Not this year, but, you know, in the macro.
Well, TLC is starting tonight, so anything's possible.
TL season, baby.
TL season. People, I was like, he's a lock to make this team. Like, he's the exact kind of dude. I was like, this guy's going to play it. He's going to be solid. Yeah, we'll see. It's going to be fun. I love playing the Sixers. And after this kind of week with finals and everything, I am very much excited to move on and get a break and just watch pleasant Hawks basketball and then a great championship weekend. Max Markovich, we can find you on Twitter.com at Max_Markovich. And Garrett, miss you this week. Well, the game will be back together next week because, you know, I'm actually doubted things are normal again. So, guys, thank you, as always. Max, I'll talk to you next week.
Thanks, man.
Nicely done, nephew. Chase Thomas Podcast. Hell yeah.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market. Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
When you make decisions for your company, you look for the no-brainers. And if you have a lot of mailing to do, Stamps.com is the ultimate no-brainer. It streamlines your processes to make your business more efficient, which makes you less busy. Mail checks, invoices, legal documents, and everything you need to keep your business running with Stamps.com. Seamlessly connect with every major marketplace and shopping cart. Schedule package pickups and see your cheapest and fastest shipping options from different carriers. With rates up to 89% off USPS and UPS rates. And with the Stamps.com mobile app, you can take care of mailing and shipping wherever you are. Make the same no-brainer decision as over 1 million other businesses with Stamps.com. Sign up with code PROGRAM for a 4-week trial, plus free postage and a free digital scale. No long-term commitments or contracts. That's Stamps.com. Code PROGRAM.